So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know this hour there's a lull between the shout, the excitement of the revelation brought on by vindication, by seeing and hearing and knowing those things for this hour. And we know that lull, Lord, can make people complacent, or they can drift away, or they can become a superficial or sort of dead and wandering in their experience. But so we pray, Lord, as the man who had actually known the truth of the power of God way back 2,000 years ago, who said, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. In other words, Lord, inspire us that we may have a wider, more fervent heat than ever before concerning this word, so that we not only believe it, we talk it, but it becomes our very life. The word living through us, not to the extent that some people believe, Lord, because we don't know what that extent is. We only know that it's a putting on a garment. It's feeding the inner man. It's causing the inner man to get more and more lively. And even though the outer man is perishing, they're moving toward you, the unseen becoming more and more real, and the seen things beginning to actually disappear, or at least begin to take on their true value, which is their temporal. They're here for the using. They simply don't have any value beyond that. We must be careful then how we compare, how we treat, how we do. And knowing the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment, knowing that your eye is on the sparrow and you have concern for us. And Lord, we know that concern was so great that you came down here as in the Garden of Eden. You yourself came down to deliver. Help us to realize these things, Lord, moment by moment, not be caught up with all the things of the world which are so whirling around at this time that they can catch us up in their tentacles, which we do not desire, and then be devoured by it. Help us to keep away from the world, the things of the world, to use them and just pass on as though they have, which is true, no other reason to be here except to be used and pass on, but holding on to the word of life which is eternal, doing your will. Guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May be seated. Now we're number 30, I believe it is, of leadership. And in this message, it is now easy to see that Brother Branham is placing himself with God as God to the people, even as Jesus did, for a prophet is God to the people. Now, that doesn't matter how great a prophet he is or how not great prophet he is. He can be one of whom was spoken of in Deuteronomy, that if a man that God uses a prophet, he'll give him visions and give him dreams. And it'll come to pass, that man is thus saith the Lord, and he's of God, and he is God to the people. But then there are those like Moses. He said, my servant Moses is not so. I appear to others in dreams and visions, and I talk to them. But with Moses, I appear even apparently. He sees me in a visible form, which, of course, we know one of the forms was a pillar of fire. Another was the back of a man, which Brother Branham described as a bleeding back, looking forward to God coming down in human flesh, even the flesh of his own son. And so, when we talk of William Branham and Paul and these men as being God to the people, just the same as Jesus was, because Jesus was not God, he was a prophet, and he was God to the people. And he himself could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father, because the Father was vindicating the man and vindicating himself that he was doing these mighty works, that the one that was appearing in signs and wonders, and thus saith the Lord, indeed was the only living God, and there was no God beside him. So Brother Branham, in taking his position as a prophet, which he was thoroughly vindicated as a prophet, saying the things that offended people, ought not to have offended them on the grounds that there should have been nothing there to be offended. In other words, if there was the right thing inside, they wouldn't be offended. You see? But they just didn't have it. So in this message, it is now easy to see that Brother Branham is placing himself with God. And he was. God was with him. And that was his message. He is here. My message is to declare that he is here, placing himself with God and as God to the people, even as Jesus, for a prophet is God to the people. That's absolute scripture, Hebrews. And he is placing the full gospel businessmen who have taken over a great part of the leadership, at least of the charismatics, by usurpation through the promise of wealth. Yeah. You know, there isn't... You always say a diamond is a woman's best friend. Hogwash. Money is. She can buy all the diamonds she wants. She's got the money. Money. Money's what has done it. These men coming as so-called successful men in the business world. Some of which were the most horrible crooks you ever wanted to run across. In a business meeting, I was there in Texas with some four gossip businessmen, and I saw Jack King. He's a very good man. He doesn't go to Brother Bell's church. He's a brother of Cecil King. And I saw him terribly angry that a man that was an absolute crook was on the board. And he demanded that ouster. Now, that man had a conscience. One man had a conscience with his money. The other man had no conscience with his ill-gotten gains. And he'd stand up as a great, tremendous person for one reason, to get your confidence. And when Satan's emissaries appear as angels of light, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing can make your eyes light up like silver and gold. Money, 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 money. I'd like to see a guy turn loose in a cage with $100 bills or maybe some 500s floating around in a very easy breeze where he could grab. You see that guy? Grab like... He'd wish he had a wash tub for a butterfly in it or something. That is the whole thing we're looking at. Businessmen. With or without money, but purporting. And the same story. Look what God did for me. I am so-and-so. And he can do for you. It's a con game. It's a con game. It'd be a good idea maybe someday to search the scripture and find out how many verses of scripture are to speak of character building by deprivation, by correction, and compared to the verses of scripture that deal with money. I think you'd find that money would take... I don't think it even comes second place. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And our guarantee is not at this moment. But our guarantee, like Abraham, and the Bible God told Abraham, every place you set the sole of your feet down, that's yours. You know Abraham never did get it. He's still waiting for it. And you know that he's resurrected from the dead and he's out here somewhere I don't know where he is, but he's out there and unobserved in a dimension, you'd call it. But he's there with the rest of them. He still hasn't come down to take over. Can you realize that's why we talk about Zion? The new Jerusalem being placed where it's placed. Because Abraham's supposed to have it. And Abraham is the typical head of all people, known as Israel, Israelis and Gentiles. To him was given that son. Even through a resurrection, because Sarah and he had to actually go through a resurrection of their bodies. That's literally what it was. It wasn't just a renewal, although you could call it that. You want to call it a complete renewal, that's fine, and you get right to the hour we're in, a complete restoration, to bring forth the Son. So he's placing the full gospel of businessmen who have taken over a great part of the leadership of the charismatics and a whole lot of the world by usurpation. Through the promise of wealth. with the rich young ruler. Because that's what he wanted. And refusing the eternal life that they claimed they already possessed, not even understanding the first thing about predestination, which they hated. See, they had preached predestination to the people and said, why don't you come to the Lord? You can get wealthy like us, but you can't come to the Lord unless you're elected. They looked around and said, who's elected? Sheep hear the voice, not dogs and pigs, that somehow hearing the voice go through some type of transmutation, some type of a changed gene. See, the trouble is many people use that as a figure of speech. It's not a figure of speech, it's an actuality. Well, I know it's an illustration to a degree. But the children of God are called sheep. Okay, now, I was turning over here to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where I want to show you what these men did. Beginning at the first verse, well, let's read the first verse. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, there's such a thing as an avocation and a vocation. A vocation is your true calling, what you should be doing, perhaps are doing. Avocation is kind of a by-calling, kind of like moonlighting. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And this word prisoner, of course, is a little bit more stringent and restricted than what you would place upon the word prisoner, because Paul was a prophet, and he could only say what God told him to say. He was just as much locked up as was Jesus, because Jesus was the great prophet. But all the rest were the same. They were locked up. Beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling, wherewith you are called. Notice, wherewith you were called, not that you called yourself. These men called themselves. They said, the ministry's not doing the job. Bless God, we're going to get it done. They'll get it done, all right. Took them right to Rome. They got the job done. The devil's job. It's going to be quite a day when the devil shakes their hands and say, well done, good and faithful brother. Could happen, you know. Could happen. Or are they going to look narrowly upon him in the pit and say, you're the guy that fooled us? Yeah, wasn't that a good joke? The devil would say, I'm not very smart. How smart are you? You followed me. Everything I did was based upon presumption, without authority. Yeah. You're pretty good students, in my word. The devil said, I might have been a failure in many ways, but I sure was not a failure in nabbing you guys. The dog catcher's wagon will be plumb full of dogs. Not meaning any slurring off, but the fact of the matter, the dog goes to vomit. So Paul says here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, of all is above all and through all and in you all. Now that's showing the unity that should be and is in an actual true bride. She may be scattered, but it's there. Now watch in verse 7, but unto every one of us, every one of us. Now these all got callings. Is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, Seth, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. That's where his soul went. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, when you talk about soul, you're talking about the life itself. Not Zoe life now, although you could call it that. It's that God life, that genuine life that I say became a part of Zoe. He set back his own life. Now, he that descended is the same also ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Now watch. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints. Where do you find the deacons and elders and those that oppose themselves into a ministry are going to be doing that? Now they can help. Everyone has a help. But it's not their job. Till we come to the unity of faith, all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, the knowledge of the Son of God is exactly who He is. The complete knowing. And unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to bring forth. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning crafters whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 20th chapter of Acts, right? Where Paul warned who was going to do it. Men who usurped authority and offices. Men who took the place of a true fivefold ministry. Now let's get this flat. The church cannot be built without a true fivefold ministry. Because just as the prophet was God or the Holy Spirit to those men and to the church, those men in their own limited capacity, to the degree of which they are called, to the intensity and depth of the ministry that God has given each one, would be the Holy Spirit manifestation to the people. That's where Brother Brown spoke of respect to the ministry. What respect did these men have to any ministry? None. None. Oh, they liked their own pastors that they gave money to and had big bean seats and everything else. You know, Brother Branham said lodges, clubs. But holding the truth and love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working to measure every part maketh increase the body and the edifying of itself in love. Now that's given to a fivefold ministry. That's why there's a true fivefold ministry now. There might not be very many, but they're there. They're there. So, this is where what you're looking at in this particular problem. And you will notice that this message of Brother Branham's is literally identical to the message of Paul. In Acts 20, where he called the elders together, and having called them, he told about his experiences, and then in 26, wherefore I take you to record this day, he said, make a record, put it down, that I am pure, free from the blood of all. The word men is in italics, from everybody. Why is he free? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Everything that God gave me to give you, I have given it to you. Therefore, I am free from blood. I am free from responsibility. Your lives are in your own hands. Do what you want. All I can do is preach the word and stand back. The rest is up to you. And what happened? Let's keep reading. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now we see where the blood really is. Now you know what you do? You can do despot to the spirit of grace and trample underfoot the blood of the covenant. Because remember, the blood always has to do with the covenant. blood-sealed covenants. Put them into effect. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves right now there are men right here in my presence, says Paul. Already doing it. Speaking perverse things. Say, when I'm gone, you watch how they turn on me. To draw away disciples after themselves or learners. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. That's where Brother Branham got his 3 years. They organize. What is organization? Organization is turning away from the Word of God. From that moment on, you're no longer a church, a true church bride, you're an organization. So while Brother Bale, we came out, we're this, we're that, we don't have a charter, don't have this, and don't have that, do you have the unadulterated pure Word of God as revealed by vindicated prophet, if you're an organization? You organized, you came out. And you came out in your organization. Your organization was get together because you weren't happy, weren't satisfied, didn't like this guy, didn't like that guy, so you came and said, we're going to go. The next thing is vying for leadership. The next thing is compromise. Because to stay together, you got to sort of compromise now. Not with this message. There's no compromise. How can you do it? Live, die, sink, or swim. Be either is you or ain't you. It's that simple. Dog or a sheep? Sheep or a goat? Pig or a sheep? Now, you can throw a pig from the sty into the sheep pen. He doesn't turn into a sheep. Well, you might even kill a sheep and take the hide off, take the pelt or the all the hide off and sew it on the pig. It's still a pig. It's still a pig. Makes no difference. Of your own selves. Watch, therefore, and remember, space of 3 years, cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And I think that conjunction should be a preposition there because it can be used either way. Even to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all that are sanctified. In other words, this is part of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And these men rose up and they said, the ministry has failed. We are going to take over. So they did take over. See? Now, at this part of our study, we see Brother Branham align himself with Moses for the third Exodus or rapture. While we see the Pentecostals refuse the giver of gifts and of all good things and above all the Holy Ghost. Remember, all those things are in Scripture. He is the giver of gifts. He's the giver of good things. He's the giver of the Holy Ghost. It's exactly what you're looking at. God himself giving a part of himself. They've turned him and everything of he really is and everything he really wants to do with and through these people. They turned it all aside for a few gifts of the Spirit. That's exactly what they did. And now arrogantly, even as Rome, they arrogate to themselves positions entirely unauthorized or proven. And when they do, they all stood up against the prophet. They didn't have that intestinal fortitude to come against him and stand beside him. In Chicago, 300 strong, they were vicious. Brother Branham took his Bible out and said, come stand beside me. There wasn't one person moved. He said, you're smarter than I thought you were. William Branham was no pushover. He didn't win about 17 fights in a row? How many? 15? Well, that's... He could have won 17. He couldn't. Too early. He was not a man who was some little jellyfish or pussycat. He said, Lee, the first man that stood there where they carried him out feet first. You know, people just don't realize the power that God invests in man, in his own authorized children, in his own seed, in the seed of his kingdom, in the seed of his sovereignty. For in his sovereignty he arrogated to man under the proposition of the promise that he'd be reigner and ruler of all. Now, since we just read a little bit, we'll read again from page 36, and I'll try to run through quickly so we don't repeat ourselves. Paragraph 250, let us follow this Moses for a little while. Now remember, I said Brother Branham is aligning himself with Moses for the third Exodus. He aligns himself with Paul, to whom the God appeared apparently even as a pillar of fire. Let us follow this Moses for a little while. Let's watch his life. The first thing when he had accepted to take the reproach of Christ and forsake his education, forsake all his wisdom, for he was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and all of his popularity, his throne, his scepter, his kingship, his crown, everything he had, he rejected it. Well, it's really, you can eulogize this man Moses, and you can preach a lot of sermons from this. But it's the same old thing. Live, die, sink, swim. Give up Egypt and drop dead. Or maybe it's give up God and drop dead, which it is. Now, Moses, at this point, was either a dead duck or a living duck. And you know the story as well as I do. When they found Moses leaning toward his brethren in slavery, forsaking his education and everything he was heir to, he'd have been the next Pharaoh. They sought to take his life. So this is live, die, sink, or swim. Make your choice. And this other fellow, the rich ruler, wanted it, and he refused Christ. Now, when he refused Christ, he refused Messiah, who means deliverer and keeper, or the putter into a position of undeniable, unquestionable, and continuing authority, where God was his patron. Now, you've all heard of patron saints and patrons, you know. Really, a patron is he's a bum. But you could call God a patron in the truest sense. Except that he's our father. I use the term patron on the grounds that we were far from him, drifting further when he reached down in mercy to help us. So he refused Messiah, the deliverer and keeper. This man for the sake of money, which in his books for a while was the next best thing to God. But if it cost him this, this was better than God. The love of money, therefore, became the root of all evil. And what is evil? The evil deed of Cain is to presumptuously worship God, not being a true believer in the God that you purport to worship. This man's worship was in vain. But Moses refused the money and the glory and accepted Christ. Now watch what Brother Branham says. And quickly what happened? He had to separate himself. Actually, the truth of the matter is he got separated. It wasn't that he wasn't willing to go. They made sure he'd go or he was dead. Live, die, sink, or swim. So he threw himself on the mercy of God and he went into separation. And Brother Branham, at this thought of separating himself, says, hallelujah. Because he's thinking of himself now, you know, and those who come out. That word, it means praise our God. It's too bad we're forgetting it. He rejected the money, the thrones, and popularity. He could have had young girls wives by the hundreds. He could have had scepters. That's kingdoms under him because Egypt ruled the world. The world lay right at his feet, and he was heir to every bit of it. You know, he was a good takeover for Satan, wasn't he? Actually, Satan runs the world right now. He doesn't own it. He's just running it. This man had enough power to be an antichrist. See? Rich young ruler, his money, everything else. Moses turned it down. But by looking in the scripture, now watch, but by looking in the scripture and seeing the day he was living in and knew that something in him, that predestinated seed of God went to work. Now, what you're looking at here is what a prophet goes through. You and I would go through this in a very limited degree in the sense of the tremendous impact. We miss it. We miss the tremendous impact of the revelation of God coming to us as he comes to a prophet. Now Moses was already getting ready to meet God in the pillar of fire, and he was led to deny every single thing in his life to be open to God. The scripture had come to him. The 400 years are up. Time has run out. And something in him made him to know that he was a vital factor in this great exodus to lead the people out. Because he was a predestinated seed of God. Now many people would be not unhappy to acquiesce and agree that there are certain people predestinated to certain jobs, certain things. And God sets them forward that the others who are not predestinated can make a choice. right off the bat, this would seem very unfair, that God would make sure that some would come and then send to hell or lake of fire all the rest who didn't come. You'd have to ask the question, what was in this person that would respond to the magnetic force of the upward pull while the other sat there neutral with a certain button that they themselves could punch, whereas God punched the prophet's button, which sure make you wonder about the rest of the scripture. Now, they just gotta have some type of crazy excuse. And I think I've heard about every crazy excuse there is for predestination. The fact of the matter is, predestination means a predestiny. Now, the point is, it signifies an end of the journey is inescapable. And that end of the journey, which is inescapable, has been drawn up. So it's exactly like it says it is. Now, the Word of God is only given to the seed or children of God who are a part of Him. The rest of the world's in folly. As I said, it's like President Clinton's spiritual advisor, the Baptist, who said when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, the word breath is actually like wind. It's a breath. And so he drew the conclusion that a child is not a child if it doesn't come forth and breathe. Well, do you believe for 1 minute that God just blew into Adam's nostril and his lungs began to inflate? And he became a living soul that way? And you see, you could have abortion in the last semester and it doesn't matter if you just made sure the doctor reached up and killed it just before it came out. Or as it came out, you choke it. You're scot-free. See, if you believe that kind of stuff, see, if you don't understand the Word of God, you can believe anything and blame it on the Word of God. So, all right, I don't care how popular you could be or how this you could be, or you could be a presbyter or a pastor, or you could be this, that, or the other, but if that Word of eternal life by God's Word has been ordained into you, and you see the thing at hand, it goes to work moving out like that. So he's saying it didn't matter what Moses was within himself as Moses, by education, training, so on, pushed into great authority, that word within him, that life within him began to respond to the word, which we know is Isaiah 55, that the word of the Lord cannot return unto him void, but must return unto him fulfilled. So he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And when he did, you better believe that he took off those robes of authority. Fact of the matter is, they likely skinned him of it anyway. And he had to put on just ordinary robes, which would be more becoming to the priesthood, the great ministry God gave him. So, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He esteemed the reproach of Christ, which was the word that came to him that hour, greater treasures than all the riches of Egypt or the world. He esteemed that. Now, that's not just a very little price to pay When you have everything in your hand and you're depending upon a vision, as it were, to give you something greater. In other words, to forfeit this in favor of the Word of God was a pretty big step. See, the rich young ruler couldn't do it. He had too big a future in it. Now, Moses had a far bigger future than the rich young ruler. Everything was already sealed up. The rich young ruler could have been bankrupt. The king could have had his head. Anything could have happened. But when you're Pharaoh, you call the shots. Moses stepped aside from calling the shots. Now, what shots do you think the full gospel businessmen were calling? Because when Moses refused to call the shots as Pharaoh, he began calling the shots for God. So he didn't pay such a great price after all, except he had to suffer to get the character to be able to call the shots. In other words, there was no position that Moses had or could have that could compare with what the Word said concerning that hour that he was heir to, and for which God had chosen him. Not saying that Moses didn't make mistakes, but he sure didn't make mistake on that one. He followed the gleam. He followed the beautiful glow. So he refused the dress of Pharaoh, and he got dressed by the Word of God, which had far greater power, reaching and lasting power, than any word of Pharaoh or any word he could devise, because everything is temporal. But the Word of God endures forever. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasure than all the riches of Egypt. He esteemed that. Watch what he did. He followed it up. He followed it up. Quickly he was ousted from the people. The people that once loved him. See? He separated himself by the Word, then the people kicked him out. That always happens. Or they make it so tough you gotta go. Luther had to go. Wesley had to go. Pentecostals went. Now William Branham went. Now we went. You think we'd last in a church, Pentecostal church or Methodist Baptist? Why? They'd shout you right down. Which is fine. They got a right to. Now, to get dressed is the big thing. To get that garment that is the fresh, true Word of God, contrary to those 400 years they had of feeding on creeds and dogmas and God knows what, everybody's interpretation of the Word up to that point, which, of course, was dealing only with what Abraham and Jacob, Isaac, the 12 patriarchs, what came down by the Levites. They weren't even recognized as Levites. What came down, people would sure wonder. But of course, they all wanted to get out of there, so that was intriguing. Now, it might cost you everything you've got. It might cost you your home. It might cost you your friendship. It might cost you a stitch and soap party. It might cost you your place, the choirs. It might. I don't know what it'll cost you. It costs you everything that's worldly or pertains to the world. I remember one word off is the Satan's kingdom. So Brother Branham said, number one, is going to cost you every single thing you ever thought about the Word of God, and every scripture that you based your hope on of eternal life comes up for examination and repudiation, correction, if you're off. And I wonder what went through Moses' mind with all the mishmash he had over all those years that had been thrown into that pot of stew called theology. You know, they say too many cooks spoil the broth, but you better believe that too many flavors can give you awful raunchy taste in soup that isn't fit to eat. You know, I've tasted some soup, and especially chili, some types of chili, and anything makes me sick, there's something they put in there that I just can't stomach. That's kind of like what they had back in the days of Moses. He had to give it all up. Get rid of it all. Now it says you have to do that. You have no choice in the light of this message of this hour but to give up every single thing that you believed when there comes a time that the prophet's word says different, or there's a different application. Moses laid everything aside and went into the desert with a stick in his hand. Amen. Well, that's all he really needed. Day after day passed. And I wonder if he thought he'd made a mistake. You know, Paul thought so too. He really didn't believe he had made a mistake. But he got kind of concerned that he might be wrong in what he's preaching. So he went up to Jerusalem. And there he presented the gospel to these men. And he had this young Greek boy with him, uncircumcised. And of course the apostles got in a hassle with Paul over circumcision. Even after Peter had the vision, don't call anything uncommon or unclean what God's cleansed. And yet Peter figured God could have cleansed the Greek, but he still needed to be circumcised. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Because that's just the flesh. It's the cleansing of the inner man. Sanctifying of the spirit. The life imparted, the soul quickened to the Word of God. So they got in a hassle over that. Paul came away saying, he said, they didn't only add one thing to me and admitted I had the revelation for the Gentiles, but they tried to mess me up. Well, Paul and Moses were like, they went to the desert and came back with the revealed word of Almighty God. Now, these four gospel businessmen well, put it this way, they're a part of the Pentecostal movement. And the Pentecostal movement started with an anticipation of a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost. They started out justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost. So they began seeking. And a lot of them began speaking in tongues. Now, for the first while, nobody took tongues as an evidence. Till the father of Pentecost, Charles Parman, up there in Kansas, I believe it was, had a small Bible school, and he told the Bible students, he said, I want you to search the scripture and come up with what the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is. So they went to the book of Acts and took the historical account instead of the doctrinal account of Paul.
who repudiated that. For he said, I can speak with many, many tongues and still not be full of the Holy Ghost. So the Pentecostals took a false evidence, took the restoration of gifts instead of the restoration of the Word, which would be the big thing, and they said, well, we've got it. Well, when I was a kid, we had a Pentecostal church, and I must say it was as filthy as they are today, if not even more so. There was these two preachers, and one had been in prison, kind of a handsome guy, I guess from what they tell me, and they lived up above the house, above the church. I still remember what it looks like. And the other guy was married, and one day the married man came home and found, you know what, was happening with the single man and his wife. So he threw him off the balcony. He didn't kill him. Should have, maybe. That's the history of Pentecost. Off the Word, lustful, rotten. Not all of them. There were some good ones there. But you see, what I'm trying to get to is this, that these four gospel businessmen are looking back on a history of repudiation, calumny, gossip, and justified filth. Now they're standing wonderful. Oh, great. They were right. They're not being looked down on anymore. They got to be legitimate because they're winning souls by the millions. They're putting everybody to shame by their zeal, their churches, their growth, their community efforts. They're into everything. These guys are exceptionally good at getting everything, especially other people's pockets, which is true. So now, what you're looking at is a people that is no longer repudiated. So when they're heard speaking in tongues and it sounds like Chinese, somebody doesn't run down and get the local Chinese restaurateur and bring him in to hear if these guys are really talking Chinese. And it's always the same story. Oh, yeah, speaking Chinese already. Oh, so filthy, can't even say what it is. So filthy, filthy. I don't know if it was filthy or not. I've heard all the stories. I know that Dr. Cliff, as I told you, understood five languages flawlessly. Or was it seven, maybe. He was in the big Montreal Church of Pentecostals. He heard five people speaking in tongues, understood every single one. I can't remember if three were cursing God horribly and two praising Him wonderfully or vice versa. Now, can you believe the Holy Ghost would sit around through people talking in tongues and saying horrible things, filthy things and cursing God? That's maybe why Paul said, no man can call Jesus a curse speaking in the Holy Spirit. So if these guys were speaking in tongues and were understood by Dr. Cliff, which they certainly were, you know they sure didn't have any Holy Ghost. I wouldn't even believe it was a gift of the Holy Ghost they had. I think they're a devil-possessed bunch of rascals. So what I'm looking at now, get this carefully, so follow me. These people are now positioned and they're looked up to. So, what is the crack in their armor? And the crack is this. And the Catholic Church fell for it. Because they have charismatics. The Pope himself agrees. And two popes before had a sister who was definitely Pentecostal. that men gladly receive the manifestation, what they claim to be of Christ, but they refuse the substance, which is the Word. Did you follow me? That is a very profound statement, not because Lee Bale made it, but it is a very profound statement. Because Hebrews tells us that Christ is the image or the manifestation of the substance of God, who is Rhema Logos. You can't separate one from the other. So if you're talking in tongues, and you refuse the doctrine, which is the vindicated Word, you accept manifestation, but you can't accept the manifester. Just the same as people out here look at nature. They accept the manifestation of God and say there's no God. Crazy, man, crazy. Many people start out with the message and they say, oh, I'll do it, glory to God, because I see it. Did somebody laugh at you, make fun of you? Well, probably I was wrong. It wasn't life and death to them. It was something interesting. Something peculiar. Something eye-catching. You know, when you take a stand for God, you've got to take a stand for the Word. Anybody can take a stand for God. Anybody can take a stand for love. Anybody can take a stand for good works. Anybody can. You can take a stand for anything today. Except, go just wanting to kill people. They might throw you in the nut house. You can take a stand for just about any old thing. But you start taking a stand for the revealed Word of God, you're marked right there. That's why the bride's going to have pressure as time goes on. See? Ashamed of His Word. Ashamed of Him is to be ashamed of His Word. See, they say, well, I'm not ashamed of Him. Bless God. I got the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I've seen this. I've seen that. I'm not ashamed of God. I love God. Do you believe that God predestinates? Huh? Well, that'd be terrible. You mean to say if God's own will, He sends some to hell and these, He says, come on in? Oh, I could never believe in a God like that. Well, the thing is, you don't understand why. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent conned Eve into a forbidden ant and brought forth his seed. See, only the women can bear. He said to them, be fruitful. Men are not fruitful. They're pollinators. Women are fruitful. So the command was given to her, and the devil got this city slicker to talk her into bearing. And she did. Adam wasn't fooled. He played God. He made sure he wouldn't lose her, so she became pregnant by him. Now she's got twins, and now the whole world's got a mess. Do you think any son of God would stand up to God like Cain did? Do you realize that's why during the Great Tribulation, when the fire is here, the sun scorching people and terrible things happening, that they gnaw their tongues in pain and curse God? And scream, save us from the wrath of the Lamb? And the old Pope, who's running the world, is supposed to be here for the Lamb? You talk about a Lamb, Savior? Save us from our Savior? Well, if that isn't Cain, I don't even belong in this pulpit. I might as well go home, and you go home too, because you're stupid sitting here. And you're stupider than I am, because I'm up here stupid enough to tell, and you're even suckered into believing. What a bunch of nuts you must be. They don't believe in predestination or the background of predestination. They don't understand seed. They haven't got a clue how the Holy Spirit waters the seed to bring it forth. What's in the woman came from the man, so now the man produces what's going to bring the rest of it forth. God does the same thing. But Brother Branham said God wanted a further sexual spiritual affair with the bride, the church. He wouldn't take it. Yeah. Wow. See? He said, they that cannot stand chastisement are bastard children, not the children of God. In other words, they can't stand correction, they can't stand instruction. They can't stand being put through the ropes. Because he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. See, they are worked up on emotion. Now, he doesn't say you can't get worked up. He said they're worked up on emotion. Huh? Now, come on now, would you were hot or cold? Your bunch of birds are lukewarm down there. I would to God you're hot or cold. God doesn't want a bunch of lukewarm people coming and going. He wants live, die, sink, swim. He wants them red hot for the word. We've turned a corner. This is it. There's nothing more to come. What if there was? Well, if there's twins, one's a god of it. You better believe one's Jesus and the other's the devil. You can't have son of man, not have son of perdition. That's why everybody got fooled there in the book of 2 Thessalonians. They forgot the twins are twins. Woman in Beaumont had two babies by her husband. They claimed they're twins in her womb and they were 6 weeks apart. Were they really twins? We could argue the point. But the point is, I'm looking at, if son of perdition's there, then the son of man was there also in the second chapter of Thessalonians. But you see, they don't know the laws of God, the laws of the Bible. So they just pass over it. Well, they say, well, the Bible didn't say it there. It didn't have to say it there. It already said it in the first chapter. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You just try and tell me Judas without Jesus without Judas or Judas without Jesus, and I'll tell you, you are not born again. You just, oh, have a nice time, children. Have a nice time. I'll buy you banana split sometime. But, see, there's nothing there spiritually. They're worked up on emotion. See, the seed that I talked about a while ago, that soul wasn't there to start with. He was anointed with the Spirit. And he did all kinds of things. And when your Spirit's anointed, you can do all kinds of things. And it's a real genuine Holy Ghost, but you yourself could still be a devil. See, nobody wants to believe the Scripture when it comes to this. And yet you challenge them, is there any power outside of God's own power? Well, no, not really. What about devil's power? Well, he got it from God. Huh? And what's he done with the power he got from God? So what about this? You tell me a person can't be of the devil, utilize gifts of the Holy Spirit, be anointed like Balaam, and his prophecy is still extant? Oh, I don't think so. Then why didn't you throw your Bible in the gutter? You're young enough to go out and get drunk and make merry. A lot of you sitting here, you're young enough to go out and raise particular Cain. Or anything else you want to call it. Because you're dead. a brother there, what if I get a greater measure of suffering? Well, you're suffering here, aren't you, trying to believe it? You're going to hell, a little bit of hell. I'd sooner go to hell with a little bit of whoopee. I'm not preaching rotten preach. I'm just telling you the truth. Paul himself said so. Even though this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Might as well go out. If you're a dog, live like a dog. Kill the neighbor's chickens. Judas, of course, we know was anointed. Now, brother, you say, oh, Brother Branham, I just can't believe that's true. Well, it is true. False prophets. The Bible said in the last days there'd be false prophets. It also said in the last days there'd be more false teachers than false prophets. Yeah. Yeah. You know why? Come on, it's easy as ABC. Every one of us have been brought up in wrong doctrine and traditions. And all we got to do to be one of these false teachers is to put that little bit of new garment, patch on the old garment, or a little bit of new wine in the old bottle. And they're doing it all over. Most preachers don't even want me to show you that film by Shelley. They said it's the most disgusting thing they ever saw. But I think you should see it. I haven't seen it myself because I know what the guy's like. The pony is a $3 bill. He's not even doing a good job at being a $3 bill. I could go to a seance and get better results. I've been to services where they were using kids in spiritism, supposed to be God, talking about angels. They said, what do you think, Brother Bale? Well, I said, it's wrong. But I said, what bothers me, this is the cheapest manifestation I've ever seen. If they could sell out for something like a toothpick instead of a solid walnut, oak or cherry tree, you compare your little toothpick to the cherry tree, something's awful wrong, honey. Amen. They were comparing that to Brother Branham, and he thus said the Lord. You know why? Because they turned down the thus saith the Lord, the word of the living God. Jesus said there'll be false Christ. Not false Jesus, as nobody would stand still for that. But false Christ. Christ means the anointed ones. Christ also means Messiah, deliverer, keeper. Aha, come under my banner. The bride said his banner over me was love. I'm going to tell you flat. If the bride had the banner of love, she also had omniscience and omnipotence. And the minute you try to throw anything into love outside of the actual wisdom, omniscience, and omnipotence, which means the living God in all wisdom, has written and is executing a word in the passion of love, you think you can settle for just one of the three. I'm going to tell you something. You haven't settled for God because God is in threes. You is a sort of a Trinitarian who has gone oneness or two-ness. Yeah, now think it over. I'm not kidding right now. I'm telling you the truth. This is not deep theology. It's just the truth. It says his banner. Whose banner? God. Omniscience, omnipotence, love. My keeper, my leader, my deliverer. the one in whom I trust, the one is going to take me there and keep me there. Now you show me one person anywhere in 2,000 years that could do what that man did, because God did it. And we're not looking to William Branham. We're looking to God, who is perfect in threes: omnipotence, omniscience, love. And you can't even separate them. You can talk about them as three entities, but you can't separate them. It's impossible. And you will notice one thing more than another: that the omniscience, that is the true revealed word of God, as you and I are looking at it according to Ephesians 1, is far greater. Far greater than omnipotence. Because these guys can come all along with their gifts fully anointed and be 100% outside the Word. And Brother Branham said, we've seen the Word of God manifested in power, but we've never seen it manifested in revelation. We did in Him. And we saw it in perfect control. We saw how God wanted it done. And He told us how God wanted it done. They backed away from it. Now I believe the gifts of the Spirit are on the shelf, as it were. I'm not afraid to attempt something with gifts, but the thing is, who's got a gift of discernment of spirits? If you've got it, we'll have meetings. Yeah. You don't have to have the gift of discernment. Walk in, these guys are discerning all over the place. And there's no discernment there. It's a bunch of hogwash. It's not even a decent word of knowledge. It's not even a good show. It stinks. It's like dead fish. Too long dead. Nobody'd stand still for being called Jesus. That means false Christ. Christ means anointed ones, falsely anointed. They are anointed, but they're false at the bottom of it. And do great signs and wonders, speak in tongues, dance in the Spirit, preach the gospel. But what did Paul say in the beginning? They changed it. They changed it. Judas Iscariot did it. Caiaphas prophesied. Balaam the hypocrite. Ooh, that's a good one. Sure. Did all the signs, everything, all the religious ones. How many minutes we got left? How many?
Ten.
Well, maybe we can just cover this. We'll take 2 Timothy, because I'm going to look up these fellers that Brother Branham mentions here, because it's interesting that we do so. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and 1-9, I know this also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. My brother Branham said, only in the last days is a true peril mentioned. The spirits are so close. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, and thank you. Now listen, just a minute, it doesn't mean you got to be all of these. But the whole gang... We'll have them all, but not each one person have every one. Why, here's these fellows be lovers of their own selves. That'd take care of them. The next bunch would be covetous, boasters, proud. Who knows? Next are blasphemers and disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise those that are good, traitors. What do you think of Mr. Ames? Why, he's a nice church member, no doubt. How many men got killed because the CIA never investigated, wouldn't do things, just sat by? Well, the CIA man wrote a book and said, hey, everybody's doing it. Let's betray the Americans. Say, why, the Russians are lovely. Let's betray America. And the do-gooder said, yeah. Yeah, what's Congress done about it? Yes. Brother Branham said, no politician can make a true decision. Oh, Gephardt, what's he going to do? Same old junk. Gingrich, what's he going to do? worse than ever. You'd have me, listen, if a so-called conservative makes you big promises that he is going to consume for you, you better believe he ain't. He's not going to. How's he going to do it? Come on, you know the way this government works. It works by lobby. There's no such thing as a democracy in America. We're not even a republic. Things gone. Having a form of God, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives, silly women laden with sins, led away divers, lest ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. It tells you right there, William Branham is telling you, in this hour there are reprobates concerning the faith. They do not believe the faith which was once for all delivered to Paul is now revealed completely. And they resist the truth, or as Peter said, they hold it back. Jannes and Jambres. Now who are they? Unregenerate heathen. Speaking in tongues and doing miracles. Praying for the sick and everything else. Okay, what's the next one? Second Peter. The second chapter. And 12 to 16. But these is natural brute beasts. What kind of soul they got? Made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of the things they understand not. Utterly perish in their own corruption. Shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. What reward did Cain get? He got marked. So they take the mark of the beast. Because they're beasts. But why shouldn't they? As they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, can't even wait for night. Spots are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. What about these preachers that talk about polygamy and say Brother Branham said it was okay? Liars. Eyes are full of adultery. Cannot cease from sin. Just can't do it. No Holy Ghost. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised the covenant practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. There again, the unrighteous king. Remember, they were a bunch that descended from Abraham, or Lot rather, the nephew. They believed in one God. A bunch of filth. They sold out. They worship God. Entirely according to their own creeds and dogmas and understanding. Because there was money in it. And these guys are screaming for money. Let's go to Jude. We'll be able to close with Jude, that little book there. 8 to 12 begins. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of the dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring an accusation against, railing accusation against them, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of those things they know not. No, they jump against the word of God that's vindicated. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, reasonings, like the serpent, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. They've gone the way of Cain. These will be the murderers who rise up to kill the virgins, foolish virgins and the wise if they can get them. They run greedily after the heir of Balaam. They prophesy for money. They sell themselves for anything. Perished in the gainsayings of Korah, take positions in the church. Demonstrate their authority. They have no authority. They're reprobates. claim to be fivefold ministers. That's the last sermon Brother Branham preached. That's the last word of God there is today. That's what you're hearing this morning. And that's what he was saying. Now, if you think the church world isn't condemned, you have got another think coming. You have got another think coming. They are all orchestrated by Satan as they were in the first church age under Paul. Another spirit, another Jesus, another word. And yet they scream, holy, 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 holy Jesus, holy word, holy spirit, hallelujah. And they make a whale of a good show. And they have this cheesy love. Cheesy love. Some tumors are cheesy. I hope you get the impact of what's in my words and my expression. To palm it off. And the people run for it because they can't stand the simplicity of a vindicated word that lays it all out. And they say, how could I be wrong? While people like you and me stand back and say, how can we be right? There's got to be something. Because we stand in doubt, we don't have the definitive. What is the definitive? Everybody argues about the rapture. William Branham came on the scene. He said, they talked. I'm telling you, there never has been a revelation at this hour, and I'm giving you the revelation. And they walked off and left it cold. That was that message, I believe, that came out of the West. The complete epitomization of everything Brother Branham stood for and the Almighty God who stood with him. Well, hallelujah. Somebody's getting out of here, and I feel good enough to go myself. Not on my own merits. But the realization we have got a hold of something and something has got a hold of us, which is the Word. By His grace, somehow, that Word that started us in the beginning will finish us. Scott, your brother, sister. Back where Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we won't stand away, but as friends of the bridegroom, we'll stand back and rejoice. And maybe we too can lift our hearts and hands miles away from this, the great 24 elders around the throne and say, holy, holy, holy. Catch a few glimpses of those cherubim. And view what the great God has done and stand with it. We could be foolish virgin, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't believe a foolish virgin knows anything but we know. And if they come anywhere near revelation, what we've got by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Yes, let's rise and be dismissed. Wednesday, 7:30. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our position in Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior. For this building and everything you've given us, Lord, to come together and worship. But above all, Lord, we thank you for the blessedness of the fact that we had something in us to recognize that which you placed upon earth when you yourself placed yourself on, which was this vindicated prophet, bringing us this vindicated word, Lord. We know that they were still like that old fella who knew so much and yet knew so little when he said, I believe, help mine unbelief. Lord, we believe the revelation, only make it revealed. Reveal it more, deeper, deeper, higher, higher. Until we're totally submersed and lost in that word, knowing therefore then our oneness and compatibility with you, being in Christ, growing up to the very head who is already now here, the Holy Spirit, waiting for that Spirit to go to that head, Jesus himself, to unite in marriage at the great wedding supper, the invisible union going on already, yes, true, but the visible union yet to come, Lord. Knowing we passed the 5 and the 6 and coming into the 7, no man knows that hour. But Lord God, we know the prophet told us by vindication, everything we needed under those seals came forth in the thunders to put us into rapture. Oh, God, that's sufficient. Help us, Lord, therefore, to be so thoroughly identified and inured with those seals that they became us and we become them. Even as Brother Branham said, Jesus was those seals. Then we, too, also will be that. Because we're thoroughly identified, Lord, to get out of here by your grace. So we just praise and thank you for your kind mercy, Lord, your illumination. How great and how wonderful to just get the insights and see these things, Lord, not of ourselves, but you constantly moving in human vessels by your Spirit because of a little life that lay in there, transmitted on down from 6,000 years and millions and billions before that. How wonderful are thy works, O God, and especially, Lord, to know that we are part of your works, going on and on. We cannot praise you enough. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Give just exuberant grace, Lord, to your people, where they are absolutely impossible, cannot hold themselves back from talking your word and encouraging others and moving on in great grace, Father. Where there's a lack, Lord, we know there isn't any lack anymore. No way, shape, and form, for our abundance is in him who is here, already setting up the headship to move on. How marvelous this is, Lord, to know we're caught up into the eternity, caught up to God himself. And we praise you for it. So sanctify your people as never before. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.